There were two topics that were suggested last night. So let's start with, I guess, some, I don't know which one's more concrete or not, I guess, but we'll start with this one. So Shai wanted to know, what's the story with Jews B'zman Hazeh? I know, that's why I said that. We'll get to yours in a second. I think we'll try to do both. But let's start with this. What's the story with this business of being the chosen people? Is it possible that the Jews can mess up?
Yeah.
You take a look. I mean, that's for sure true, right? The question is, but what's the consequence of messing up?
Not much.
Not much?
Well, I would, probably Hashem disowned us.
So how do you know? The Christians will insist that God has rejected the Jews. So are they right or are they wrong?
They're wrong.
How do you know?
Because we're still here.
We're still here. A historical proof? What?
A bit
of historical proof?
Yeah. They're still here too. Okay, there's so many of them. How is it possible that Jews are still around? Wait, less than 1% of the world's population.
Maybe there'll be so many of them and so few of us.
Wait, what did you say?
There's a story they say, I think, about Rabbi Yonos and Eibshitz, that there was a priest that came up to him and he said, according to your Torah, you have to become Christian. He said, really? That's interesting. Why would you say that? So he says, well, what happens if you have a mixture or a suffix? What's your rule? The Torah says, Acharei Rabbim Lahatos, you go by the majority. Well, we're the majority. According to your Torah, you have to become Christian. Or maybe more than you. See, he said, the rule of Achirab Mahatos is only a rule of a suffix, not when there's no suffix.
What is a suffix?
What?
Suffix
would be, should we become Christian or Jews? Who's right and who's wrong? But if there's no suffix, then we're right and you're wrong. So then you don't go by rules of Asfagos, by rules of Achirab Mahatos. But we need some indication. How do you know? Maybe a Kaddish Baruch Hu said, as long as you guys are keeping the Torah, so then you'll be my chosen people. And if you stop keeping the Torah, so then you cease to be my chosen people. How do you know? And what story with the bris? There are lots of times when a Kaddish Baruch Hu made a covenant with us, aside from when it says, V'isim li segula mikol amim, you'll be this treasure to me, this special chosen people. There's also a covenant we have with Hashem. Isn't it true that the person breaks the covenant is broken? So it's a good question. How do you know that that's not the case? And that's important to know the answer to this question. So we'll deal with it in two parts. The first part is something that I and Mamas just heard on Thursday night. Rabbi Beryl Wein, if you know who he is. So he gave the Musar Shmooz here on Wednesday night. So it's recorded in Yitzhak. So one of the things that he mentioned, he referenced Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer was the son of the Chassam Sofer, who was the Rebbe in Pressburg. And both of them very famous, forceful personalities. And Ksav Sofer is dealing with the psukim that revolve around Am Segula, that we're this treasured nation, Takarish Baruch. So you have a chumash, or maybe you want to just maybe open your phone for a minute. The psukim, right before the Aseres HaDibros, that's the first time that we encounter this type of language. So if you take a look, it's in Perek Yud Tes, towards the very beginning of Perek Yud Tes. That's when Bnei Israel come to the Midbar of Sinai, where Sinai is located in the Sinai desert someplace, and etc., etc. So at the in Pasuk Hey, well, we'll start in Dalet, right? Dalet says, Atem ra'isa mesher asisi l'mitzrayim. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. I carried you metaphorically on the wings of eagles or whatever exactly Nisharim are. But I've brought you to me. So that's a good question. What does it mean, the wings of eagles? Like what's that a reference to? But we'll skip it for now. The Ata. Can you translate Ata with an ayin?
And
now. Im shamoa tishm ubekoili. Sounds like there's a big if here. If you listen to my voice, ushmartem esbrisi, and you guard my covenant. V'isem li segula mikol ha'amim. Now here is another vav, right? So vavs are tricky because when you see a pasuk that has a string of vavs together, you're trying to figure out what's the, there's an if. What is the then? So what do you say? Now, im shamo atish mavakoli ushamartem esprisi visem li segula mikolo amen keli kolo aretz. Where's the? Let's translate it. You try to figure this out. Do you see a clear then, or is it a string of ifs? What's upon us to do, and what is the consequence? Is it, if you listen to my voice and you keep my covenant, comma, then you will be to me a segula mikolo amen? Because it's just another vav. Is it, if you listen to my voice and you keep my covenant, and you will be to me a treasured nation from all the nations? But then it says, Kili kol aretz, because the entire land belongs to me. And the next pasuk is another vav. Va'atem tiyilu mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. And you will be to me a nation of priests and a holy nation. A kingdom of a holy nation. Eilei dvarim shedibur b'nei Yisrael, that's Moshe Rabbeinu v'ishe tov b'nei Yisrael. So the pasuk doesn't have a clear then. Is the if not an if? Are we reading it wrong? Well, it's if you keep my covenant and my mitzvahs, right? That seems to be an if. So are we going to read that as Shai is suggesting? The only time we're considered to be a sinam segula is if we keep the mitzvahs? That's the question. And what does it mean at the end? Eila hadivar mesher tedaber al b'nei Yisrael. These are the words that you should speak to b'nei Yisrael. Seems straightforward. So Hashem is just saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, tell b'nei Yisrael that. What's the big deal? Rashi writes, Eila hadivarim lo pachos v'lo yoser. Not more, not less. It's a little strange. What is Rashi adding? Okay, so that's the question. The question, I want to know how to read it. The other question that one might ask is, let's isolate the segula part. That's what we're interested in, right? Let's isolate the phrase talks about that. Visem li segula mikolo amim, ki li kol ha'aretz. You'll be to me a treasured nation of all nations, because the land is mine? Because the land is mine? What does that have to do with anything? Are you hear the question? And then it says, Va'atem tiyuli mamlechetz kohanim v'goy kadosh. What? You just said, V'isem li segula mikolo amim, you'll be to me a treasured nation from all the nations, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But that's out of order then. Shouldn't Kili kol haaretz be at the end of all of that? Just say, Visam Lisa Gulam and Kalamim, you'll be a treasured nation to me, and a mamachas kohanim v'gay kadosh, kili kol haaretz. So there seems to be something going on in this pasuk that's really not clear. So that's what's bothering the Ksav Sofer. So let's see if we can get through this piece of the Ksav Sofer. It's the middle piece. So it starts, Visam Lisa Gulam mikolo amim v'chule. You with me? Henry, you want to share with Josh? I only have two. I didn't want to go. Or you can listen if you want, whatever. But if you want to follow along, so then we'll follow it. So he says like this. It's a little bit hard to read. It's like Rashi script, and it's a print from HebrewBooks.org. I don't have it on my photographic memory. I know my word Bar Ilan. So I printed it up from HebrewBooks.org. I apologize. It's not the greatest print. It says, "Va'atem tiyuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh v'yisem lisegula." Yeah, the middle paragraph. V'yisem lisegula. V'yisem lisegula mekalav amim v'chulei. So far, all he's doing is just quoting the psukim that we just read. Pirush Rashi lo pachos v'lo yoser, and then he quotes the Rashi that we also read. The Rashi says, "These are what was what I want you to tell Klal Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu, that and nothing more." Adds Rashi. So he says, well, is that a lamali or is that Vitzarech Lomar? Vitzarech, I don't know. Anyway, he says, Eich, Yahweh, I'll... Vitzarech Lomar? Maybe. Eich Yahweh al das Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom lehosif al divrei Hashem lefachos peligoroa. What is Rashi adding here? Was there some sort of Hava Amina that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to add to what Hashem wanted him to say? Is there some sort of agenda that Moshe Rabbeinu felt he had to say something extra? Then Hashem says, "Don't say that." Like, what's? That's what he's asking on Rashi. So that's a question. So here's his answer. V'nirali, v'shenavin ha demaschil, that we have to navin from bina. We have to understand ha demaschil, this that it begins with v'isem li segula, you'll be to me a treasured nation. V'shuv amar v'atem tiyu mamleches kohanim. And then it says, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests. Havalela meimar, it should have said, v'hisem lisigula, you will be to me a treasured nation, u'mamleches kohanim, and a kingdom of priests. Put that all, group that all together. Again, just to make sure we're on the same page. Hashem is speaking to Bnei Israel, if you do this, you will be to me this treasured nation. So that's which direction? Is it asking something of them? Seemingly. Is it asking them to keep the mitzvahs? But if you do that, you'll be to me a treasured nation. Then what's v'atem tiyu li? That's what you already said. V'yisem li segula, v'atem tiyu li. So that's his question. Dihine, hivtiach lanu Hashem, al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom. He says, here Hashem is hivtiach. What's hivtiach? What's a havtacha? A promise. From the word b'tachon, with betach, that Hashem is promising us through, by the hand of, al yedei, Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav Hashem. You know that acronym? Mem, Resh, Ayin, Hey. You're going to see it a million times in Sfarim. Mem, Resh, Ayin, Hey stands for Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav Hashem. You'll find it a million times. So Hashem is promising us, al yedei, Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav Hashem. Me'az, from the time long ago, she'amarnu, that we said, she'ritzoneinu l'kabel ha-Torah, that our will is to receive the Torah, from the moment that we said Nase, that we want it, Sheniye lo segula, that we will be to him a treasured nation, Muvuchar, chosen, Shebekol ha'amim, amongst all other nations, V'hainu gam, this is his chiddush, that means even, also, Im lo nekayim ha'Torah, if we don't keep the Torah, V'lo nishmarosa, and we don't guard it. Kuruya, as is appropriate. Kamosha kabanu atorah b'har Sinai, like we accepted the Torah on Har Sinai, to do it, you know, correctly. Even if we don't, b'komakom l'yishkach Hashem lanu ma'amad ha'nivchar, Hashem will never forget that ma'amad, how do you translate the ma'amad, the standing, the ma'amad is like the standing, you know, that we stood at Har Sinai. Ha'nivchar, that was chosen. Shamanu b'kibalnu, that we stood there and we accepted HaTorah. Asher lo asu kein kol shar ha'amim. None of the other nations were willing to do such a thing. Right? You know that famous Medrash. Hashem offered the Torah to all the different nations. They said, well, what's in it? And we said, we don't care what's in it. If it's coming from Hashem, we want it. Where is that? Anu nikroim tamid segula. Because we accepted it, that's why we're referred to as a segula keneged shar ha'amim. So that's the first point he makes. Is that there are two separate points here. Now, I really have a trouble understanding his point because the pasuk begins va'ata im shamoa tishmu bekoli u'shamartem esprisi. How does he read the beginning of the pasuk? I'm not clear on this, so maybe you can help me figure this out. But he says when it says v'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz, he's saying that you're going to be a treasured nation because everything is mine, and I offered it to everybody else, and you're the only ones that wanted it, and I'm choosing you are therefore my Am Segula. Avleim anu makayme matorah kruya. But if we do fulfill the Torah appropriately, kedichsev ki am kadosh atol Hashem alikecha, you are a holy nation, Hashem. Vanu devukim b'Hashem u'b'Torah. So when we cling to Hakadosh Baruch Hu in His Torah, as anu b'madrega meula elyona, then we become on a higher level. Shenikra aleinu shem hanivchar mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. That's what makes us a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So there are two levels, he says. There's an Am Segula, and there's a Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. The Am Segula element is chosen because we stood at Har Sinai and accepted the Torah. That will never change. Now you want to be Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh? That's up to you. V'atem. And you, this is your responsibility. You want to be up to that second level? That's what you have to do. But if you want to know if you're an Am Segula to me, that exists from the time that you accepted the Torah. You'll be an Am Segula. Ki li kol ha'aretz. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the fact that everything is mine and I chose you. Aval al zeh, ein b'yad Hashem lehavtiach l'usanam. Hashem can't promise us we'll be Mamelches Kohanim B'Goy Kadosh. Because who's that up to? Ki zeh talui b'ritzoneinu. That's up to us. To our will. V'kol b'idei shamayim chutz mi'yirah shamayim. And he fleshes it out by pointing out that everything is in the hands of heaven except for free will. The choice to do that. Except for yirah shamayim. But that level that we're a treasure of all the, from all the nations, on this Hashem promised, Osanu, Shania lala olam segula. We will always be a treasured nation to him. Me'achar shekibarnu haTorah. Once we accepted the Torah. V'hainu risam li segula mikalav amim. Shani mavtiach eschem. I promise you. Shala olam tiyu li segula. Will always be a treasure. Gamim lo tekaimu haTorah mitzvus karoy. Even if you don't fulfill the Torah properly. Aval ani mevakesh mikem. But I'm asking of you. Va'atem. And you. Tiyuli mamlechus kohanim v'goy kado. Should be a kingdom of priests. And a holy nation. That you should fulfill the Torah, to you kiddoshim, and not just that, but you should be holy, which is an extra level. Now he distinguishes between what it means to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, because what it means to be a kingdom of priests apparently is that you're following the Torah, but to be kadosh means kiddoshim to you. That you have to go above and beyond. You have to know what a kadosh baruch hu wants, and then you have to try and do better. I'm not sure what the next word is. Mamlechus Kohanim, and he says something. I don't know what that word is. I cannot make it out. Kadosh. Me'ata yisparish heitev el advarim. This is what Rashi had in mind. Lo pachos v'lo yoser. Not more and not less. Shalios Hashem. No, shet. Chetziva? I don't know. Chetziva Hashem? I think Chetziva. Chetziva Hashem la Moshe. Shiyom alahem, shnei devar meilu. Tell him these two things. Shlo yu la'olam p'chusim me'am segula. Lo pachos lo yoser. He interprets. Ready for this? That you'll never be less than a treasured nation. But also, you'll never be more. Lo yu tovim gam adrega me'ula. You'll never be higher than the highest level of mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh. Yosem yizet yashal yos k'nabu nechom. So that's Pachos Lo Yoser according to Rashi. That there are two levels here. The one level is baseline, that's your default. Your default, you'll always be an Am Segula to me. You can't be less. No matter what you do. But you also can't be more than a Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kodesh. That's the maximum level that you can accomplish, you could achieve. That's the highest you can, so that's the Lo Pachos Lo Yoser. Not that you shouldn't tell them more or less, but that they should know that they'll never be less, and then they'll never be more. This is where what you can accomplish. Interesting, right? It's an interesting Ksav Sofer. How does he read the beginning of the Pasuk Va'ata, and now? Im shamoa tishma'u b'koli, v'shmartem esprisi, v'isem li segula mekolavamim, kili kolavaretz? I'm not sure. So, you'll think about it when you figure out and get back to me on this one. I'm not sure. I want to share one more thought with you. Okay, so what is the Ksav Sofer saying? Clear, right? He's saying that there are different levels. There's our responsibilities and what makes us great, and that's up to us. But there's also the fact that the Kaddish Baruch Hu has chosen us from all the nations of the world. And he says, and that doesn't change. There's nothing that can, nothing that's going to change that, because it's not based on what we do. It's based on the fact that we accepted the Torah and we're part of that. We're part of that group. We're part of that people that accepted the Torah and brought the Torah to the world because of that. So that's interesting. The other thing I want to show you is also very, very important, and this spells it out a little bit clearer than that Ksav Sofer. The end of Parshas Baha Aloischa. No. The end of Parshas Bukhukosai. There's something that appears twice in Chumash that's very, very terrifying. What am I talking about? Guess. Terrifying. Terrifying.
Talking animals.
Terrifying. Talking animals.
destruction of the world.
What we call the Tochacha. When a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, if you don't keep the mitzvahs, then terrible, terrible, terrible things are going to happen, right? So one of those, the first one, that time that appears, is in Bechut Gosai. So that goes straight to the point we're discussing, correct? Because if you're going to argue that you have to keep the mitzvahs, and if you don't, and then the terrible things are going to happen, so doesn't that imply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, okay, all bets are off? Right? So that's another way to ask the same question. So if you take a look, and Bechut Gosai, I don't know if you want to see it inside, you'll take a look in Perek Chaf Vav, at the very, very end. A bird's eye view of what's going on here is that you're not going to be able to appreciate it until you sort of flip through Chumash and try to do this. But a bird's eye view of Chumash gives you a certain perspective on the outline of the entire Chumash. In other words, you have Bereishis, right? Bereishis is like an introduction to everything. There are no laws given. Bereishis is like the background to all of this. And then you have Sefer Shmos. Shmos means, okay, everyone was in Galus, and you have to apparently keep in mind that part of how critical Matan Torah is that we left Mitzrayim in order to get it. Because what is Shmos? How do you package, how do you view Shmos? Shmos is Mitzrayim and the slavery, all of the Makis and everything that freed us from Mitzrayim, receiving the Torah, and building the Mishkan. That's Shmos. And Hashem could have made Bereishis, Bnei Yisrael were slaves, and then Shmos could have begun with Yetzias Mitzrayim, or Shmos could have begun with Matan Torah. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu delineate a separate Sefer that ends with the Avos and the Shvatim dying, and then the Avdos of Mitzrayim? So if you had to give Shmos a title, it was a book, right? Shmos is a book. You're going to come up with the title. So let's vote on a title for Sefer Shmos. Again, what is Sefer Shmos about? It starts off, Bnei Yisrael were slaves. They became slaves. It starts off at the very beginning, they were not. But they became slaves. They were freed with awesome miracles the world had never seen the likes of. They were then brought to the Midbar to receive the Torah. They're given all these laws. And then they're instructed to build a Mishkan. That's it. What's a title for that book?
Birth of a Nation.
It's about the nation of the Jewish people. That's what you want to say. What about their homeland? A nation without a homeland? Not important to them. It's a nomadic nation. Because if that's really important, so why shouldn't it end with them coming to Eretz Yisrael? So I hear what you're saying. I'm not rejecting it, but you know, it's a question on your chat, right? It's a question on your suggestion.
It's the origin of the Jews.
You think it's the birth, really? It's not really the whole development. It's just the beginnings. What do you guys say? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to say, isn't there a theme to that particular sefer?
Hashem is great. Hashem does all this stuff
for us. So the Ramban is of the opinion that since it ends with Mishkan, and it began with the Jewish people becoming distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and becoming slaves, it's the book that's called Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. Because what happened, he says, this is Ramban's understanding, is that Hashem had a relationship with the Avos that was very intimate. The Avos spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, they were Nevi'im, all the covenants. And what happened? They went to Mitzrayim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu distanced his relationship with them, right? So that's how Shmos begins, with the distancing in that relationship. And how does it end? Mishkan. That the relationship has now been returned to the way it was with the Avos. The Avos are the DNA for what happened with the nation, where Avram Avinu brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu close to him, and then Hashem dwells with the Avos. Shmos, as Kadosh Baruch Hu, comes to Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim from the distance, and then lives with them with the Mishkan. That's how the Ramban. Now, what's in the middle of all that is Matan Torah. So it's interesting. So that's how the Ramban looks at it. In any case, so you have Sefer Shmos is basically about Matan Torah and how the Shechina came back to Klal Yisrael. Vayikra is all about how to keep the Shechina there. And then Bamidbar is like, you know, stories that happen along the way. And Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu's, you know, farewell instructions to Klal Yisrael. That's really Kol Torah, right? That's entire Torah. That's how the Ramban would sort of summarize it. Now, what if we're looking at it from like a mitzvah perspective? Where are the mitzvahs presented? So Devarim are mitzvos, but it's like Moshe Rabbeinu's rehashing of mitzvos. It's a little, it's interesting. There are chidushim in those mitzvos, but it's Moshe Rabbeinu's parallel speech. Everyone agrees to that. And Bamidbar is primarily stories of things that happened in the Midbar, right? Vayikra is all the mitzvos have to do with korbanos, and well, a lot of other things happen later too, right? Achrimos and kidoshim. There are a lot of mitzvos that happen later too. So it's a lot of mitzvos, but it's also some a bigger stress on Mishkan. And then, of course, when you're talking about Shmos, so you have all the mitzvos that were involved in Mishpatim and whatnot. Okay, what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that when you get a bird's eye view of Vayikra, so there's an end, seemingly, to the presentation of mitzvos. It seems like a Kaddish Baruch Hu was presenting Moshe Rabbeinu with mitzvos, and he said, okay, that's it. Where is that it? Well, if I would redo this pasuk out of context, you tell me, where does it sound like this pasuk appears or belongs? The pasuk is, Eile hachukim v'amishpatim v'hatoros. These that I just told you are the laws, the judgments, and the Torahs, asher nasan Hashem beino vein b'nei Yisrael, that Hashem gave between him and the Jewish people, v'har Sinai b'yad Moshe. On Har Sinai, in the hands of Moshe. Where does that pasuk belong? Yeah, because that's when all the mitzvot were presented and given, something like that. In other words, this is a concluding point. You might even expect this to be the last line of the entire Torah. But that's it. Everything I just told you are the mitzvot. So where does this pasuk actually appear? Almost at the end of Parshas Bechukosai in Vayikra. So, I know we're tired in Sunday morning, but when you think about this, that pasuk is clearly indicating an end of something. So from then on, good morning. From then on, apparently there's something else happening. This is like the end of the presentation of mitzvos. Now, if you're with me at all, even a little bit, so then apparently we are ending presentation of mitzvos at that point. What was just said? What was the last mitzvah said? So it's fascinating. The last mitzvah that was said is the tochacha. Tochacha was the last thing that was said, and then that pasuk comes at the end of the tochacha. Which means that if you're trying to get like a little bit of an outline here, what happened to the Kaddish Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, mitzvahs, 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 parshas Vayikra, korbanos, emor, all the chagim, and then, vahar, all the halachas of Shemitah, Yovel, all those kinds of things. And then Kaddish Baruch Hu says, but you gotta keep the mitzvahs, because if you don't keep the mitzvahs, terrible things are gonna happen. This will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen. Those are the mitzvahs that you need to tell B'nai Yisrael. And then we go on with the rest of Torah. So at the end of that tochacha is a little paragraph where Kaddish Baruch Hu says, I need you to understand what that whole punishment was all about. Don't make a mistake. Don't get it wrong. Because you could get it wrong. And if you get it wrong, it's going to be really, really bad for you. What do I mean? So the pasuk says, terrible things are going to happen, and it's going to look like it's an accident, because you're not going to see me. Then, all out of nowhere, v'zochartei es brisi Yaakov. But I'm going to remember the covenant I made with Yaakov Avinu, v'af es brisi Yitzchak, and the covenant with Yitzchak, v'af es brisi Avraham ezkor, and Avraham's bris as well, I will remember, v'aretz ezkor, and I will remember the land. V'aretz te'azev mehem, v'tirshab soseha, v'hashamah mehem, the land is going to fix the issue that resulted. You didn't keep Shemitah v'Yovel, you didn't treat it properly. I'm going to force the land to lie fallow because you're going to be exiled. But that's going to fix the problem. Because you rejected my mitzvos. Okay, critical, critical pasuk. So pay attention to this. This is going to answer your question, I think, in like very clear terms. Despite all of this, despite everything I just said, Biyosam be'eretz oyveihem, when they are going to be in the land of their enemies, lo ma'astim, what does it mean to be ma'us? It's like disgusting. It's ma'us, disgusting. Lo ma'astim, I am not disgusted by them. V'lo ga'altim, and I didn't vomit them out. L'chalosam, to destroy them. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not disgusted by them. I am not getting rid of them to destroy them. L'hafer brisi itam, in order to destroy my covenant with them. No, 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 no! You with me? This is bris. We spoke before about segula. I'm segula. This is bris. I am not being made for my bris with them. Ki ani Hashem elekehem. Because I am their God. V'zachardi lehem bris rishonim. And I'm going to remember the covenant of the first ones. Asher hutzesi osam eretz Mitzrayim. And I took those that I took out of Mitzrayim. Le'inei ha'goyim. Lios lehem lelikim. To be their God. Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. Eila ha'chukim ha'mishpatim. And that's when it summarizes it and says, okay, that's it. Now I'm done basically giving you the Torah. So that's a pasuk that's straight up. That even when Klal Yisrael is sent into Galus, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, what at the end of the day? So let me express this to you in a slightly different way. The Rambam, when he paskins all of the halachos of Geirus, he says something that's mamash unbelievable, and when you hear it for the first time, you may go out of your mind. Rambam writes that when a person comes to convert, so we say to them, welcome?
No.
You
tell them that they shouldn't convert.
We say, are you out of your mind? Have you heard of the Holocaust? Crusades? Like, do you know anything about our history? Like, why in the world would you want to be part of this? And then they have to say something. What do they have to say? What do you think they have to say? And if they say... If they say, despite all of that, it's true, like you're saying, right? Like, this is the MS, and I want the MS, whatever the consequences are. Then we accept them. The language of the Gemara and Rambam, the language of the Rambam, is a little different. And if they say, Yodea ani, I know what you're saying. Ve'eni chedai. How you translate that? Ve'eni chedai, and I'm not worthy? I'm not chedai? I'm not worthy of that? So then we accept them and say, come on, let's go.
Why is they not worthy of dying first?
Yeah, what does that mean? Not worthy of the Holocaust? Are you worthy of the Holocaust? What does that mean?
Maybe they're not worthy because they weren't born Jewish.
Maybe? Not worthy of that relationship.
Maybe.
When you have a kid and you see that the kid is really struggling, so do you just let them struggle and say, like, whatever, I don't really care?
Usually
not. Okay, depending on the situation, that may be an option. But you're going to do whatever you can to try to help the kid. The kid may not appreciate the help, but you're trying to help him. But if you just let him do whatever he wants, you know, I don't know, kids love candy. So let him eat candy. Just let him eat candy. So what's the answer? Because he's not going to get any nutrition. And then all his teeth are going to fall out. And he's going to get carried, he's going to get sick. It's not healthy for him. It's just really not healthy. So you have to make the kid suffer and force him to eat food that he doesn't like. And it's really not so much fun. And you're going to send him to school. And you're going to do homework. You guys hate me. You make me do homework all the time. But we know that that's an immature way of looking at it. Because sometimes you have to do things that aren't comfortable. Because that's what you need to do to be successful in life. To get where you could be. But if you don't train yourself, you'll never be successful. So you have this raw material that's this stallion, you know? But if you want the stallion to be able to produce something in the world other than just be a wild horse, so he has to be trained and he has to be cultivated. You have to do things with him to produce what he really could be. The training. I mean, you know, the end in December is going to be the next Star Wars movie. So if you want to be a Jedi, you may have the force in an incredible, to an incredible extent, but if you're not trained, Darth Vader is gonna make mincemeat out of you. You know, I know he's gone in the next movie, but like, you know, like whoever it is, what's his name?
He's dying in the next movie.
He's gone in the next movie. What's the guy's name?
Kyle.
Whatever.
Kyle.
You didn't see the movie, huh?
I'm not.
Okay.
I've seen half.
It's okay. I didn't really see it either. But anyways, the training is what's going to enable you to harness the incredible amount of power that's there and be able to use it successfully. So that's what we tell that's what the Ger has to tell us. What is he telling us? That I understand that whole process, and even though that process sometimes looks terrible, but that's an educational process at the end of the day. Because if there's no relationship, then you're right. Then you just eat candy and everything's sweet and everything's, you know, great and you do whatever you want. When there is a relationship, oh, so that's going to be hard to figure out in a detailed way. But what we do know is...
How is murdering people teaching anyone anything?
When you look at the Torah itself, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that everything is mida keneged mida. That because you behaved in a certain way, and especially in Mechukusai, it says because you did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I'm going to relate to you in ways 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And if you get the point, then it stops there.
Are we supposed to not try to learn out stuff in the law? Aren't we not supposed to try to figure out why it happened?
Well, that depends on what you mean. It happened because we're not perfect. Now, exactly what's going on and exactly all the specific details, you need a Navi for that. But we know for sure that when a Kaddish Baruch Hu says things are going to happen because you're not keeping the Torah properly, so there are certain messages. And if we take the message to heart, that's what the Torah says. So then they'll stop. If you don't take the message to heart, then it's just going to get worse. Take a look. Parshas Bechukosai. Take a look. That's what it says. So that's a reflection of a relationship, of an educational relationship. And when you have a Navi, it's much easier, obviously, than it is when it's Hester upon him. And you don't see what's going on. And it's hard to figure out what's going on. And it's hard to see how to fix it. But that's the Yisod. So that when the Ger says, Yodei ani v'nechadai, I know, and I'm not even worthy of such a thing, what he means to say is, because I know that this is part of a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch. The details are going to be hard to figure out. But I know it's part of a relationship, because the Kaddish Baruch didn't care, so we would not be around, or you know, who says all the terrible things have to happen, especially in the way that a Kaddish Baruch said they would. So Hashem is saying that despite all of that, please realize, this is not part of my rejection of you. Even when you're sent out into galus and terrible things are happening, it's not a destruction of my bris. It's actually the opposite. It's a kiyum habris. So the Kaddish Baruch Hu said that's what's going to happen. So anytime somebody says to you that, you see, the Jews have been forsaken, look at the Holocaust, look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. He say, no, Kaddish Baruch Hu said that's going to happen already. And he said over here in Vayikra, Perek Chavav, that's exactly what's going to happen, and that despite all that, I am not rejecting them. Kaddish Baruch Hu says that instead. So those are the two elements that I wanted to point out to you. Number one is the Am Segula that we started with, that we are always going to be a treasured nation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we accepted the Torah, and whatever happens afterwards. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen us, and that's not going to change. Now, there's also a bris that he has with us. The bris means that if you keep the mitzvahs, then things will be beautiful, things will go well, things will be easy, and things will you'll have a beautiful life. Now that depends on us doing mitzvahs. And we say that every day. If you keep my mitzvahs, then you're going to have your rain, and you're going to have Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to have everything. And if you don't keep them, you're going to go into galus. It says that in Vayim Shamoa. And here, and so one may have interpreted that to be a rejection of us. It says this pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chavav, absolutely not. That's a reflection of the bris. I'm trying to teach you things. And if you don't learn those lessons, then there's going to be things that hopefully will force you back into behaving in the way, in recognition of me, that it's supposed to. Now, you're right, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes when you have a Navi, he's able to shore things up. When you don't have a Navi, it leads to a lot of people, Rahmana Litzan, rejecting a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But nonetheless, it's in Chumash already, and you want to take a look, you can take a look on Hazinu also. Hazinu is the whole history of the world. And Hazinu also talks about the same types of things. You're going to go into Galus, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, eventually I'm going to punish the Goyim, I'm going to bring you back. So I guess I'll just point that out too. I'm not going to go into detail, but when you get a chance, take a look at Hazinu. The Rambam writes, there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, correct? If I would ask you why. Why do you think there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah? So you'll say, well, because we got to know the mitzvahs, and like the best way to guarantee mitzvahs is everybody has the book, you know, maybe they'll read it. The Rambam writes, the reason why there's a mitzvah, okay, so who knows the pasuk that instructs us to write a Sefer Torah? It's a tough one. Kisvu lachem es hashira hazos. Ve'ata kisvu lachem es hashira hazos. Now I want you to write this song. You know where that pasuk appears? The end of Chumash. After Hazinu. Right before Hazinu. Hashem says, I want you to write the song I'm about to teach you. Sima b'fiyam, I want you to place it in the mouths of all the Klal Yisrael. This is the song that all the Jews have to sing. Says the Rambam, that's why we have a Sefer Torah. We have a Sefer Torah because you have to know Hazinu. Have you ever heard this before? The Rambam writes, you, me, everyone has to have their own Sefer Torah. You know why? Because you must own Hazinu. And yeah, you ever read Hazinu? What a chaval. We don't even read Hazinu. We don't pay attention to it. It's poetic, it's hard to read. The Rambam writes that that is the mitzvah to have a Sefer Torah, is that you should have Hazinu. Sima b'fiyam. We're supposed to know Hazinu. It's supposed to be a song that we sing. It's supposed to be something that's on our lips. So what is Hazinu? So I leave it up to you when you get a chance. Just peruse it. Take a look at Hazinu. It's the history and the future of the world. That's the Ramban. I told you this Ramban, right? Ramban says, Ramban doesn't say. The Ramban apparently had mentioned this idea to Talmidim. And he said, claimed, everything that will ever happen is in Hazinu. He had a Talmud named Avner. And Avner went off the derech. He became a priest. And he became apparently very... he was in a position of power. In the same town was his former Rebbe, the Ramban. And he demanded from the Ramban that he appear before him in his palace on Yom Kippur. The Ramban didn't have a choice. So during their break, I guess, you know, he handed on over to the palace of Avner. So he says, what do you want from me? Avner proceeded to bring out a pig, kill it, cook it, eat it in front of the Ramban on Yom Kippur. And he asked the Ramban, how many Yisurei Kares did I just violate? So the Ramban made a cheshbon and told him whatever he thought. Avner said, ha! It's one more! And with his thumbs, he proved to the Ramban that he violated another Yisurei Kares that the Ramban hadn't thought about. So the Ramban said to him, so you're such a Talmud Chacham, so why are you off the derech? What are you doing with yourself? So he said, it's your fault. Why, what did I do? It's because I can't believe a thing you say after you said that everything is in Hazinu. Come on, give me a break. It's not true. Where am I? In Hazinu. He said, the Ramban went off to a corner for a couple of minutes. He davened the Kadosh Baruch Hu to enlighten him. And he came back a few minutes later and he said, if you take a look at the Pasuk, the third letter of these four words, you'll find yourself. Amarti, Afayem, Ashubisa, Me Enosh, Zichram. I am angry at them. I will erase their memory from mankind. The third letter in those four words spells Avner. I am angry at them. I will wipe out their memory from mankind. That's you. He freaked out. And he like set sail, never to be heard from again. He killed himself or something. I don't know. That's the Ramban about Hazim.
Well, the Ramban we're talking about him now.
What? Oh, he's not Zichron. Yeah, well, his physical memory, I guess. So you're right. Maybe he did Shuvah. I don't know. But, I mean, he did some kind of Shuvah. Anyway, but that's what the Ramban says.
They gave priests, like, any priest, like, they just gave him palace?
I don't know. He became a successful guy, you know. They used to really reward the Jews that totally went off the derech, and, you know.
I think it was because, like, the priest would like, charge people again.
I guess I don't know. Okay, in any case, but that's another element to this whole conversation, is that when you take a look at Hazinu, which the Rambam says, that's why we have a Sefer Torah, so Hazinu also it's very clear that a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're going to go into Galus, but it's going to end. And I'm going to avenge the enemies, and I'm going to bring you back. And that's one of the things that everyone says is unprecedented. What nation ever returned to its land after being exiled? Where are the Greeks? Where are the Romans? Where are all these nations that were destroyed, where their civilization, their culture was destroyed? And then what happened to them? They're just gone. These things do not revive themselves. It's unprecedented in history that you can have a nation that goes into Gullahs, maintains its identity, and comes back and has its nation, its land again. Unprecedented in Jewish history. And then you're going to say that we were rejected by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the Christians freaked out when this happened. You know that, right?
What?
The Christians freaked out when the Jews got Eretz Yisrael back. Because it, like, killed their religion. It was like a stab in the heart. Can't be.
There were Christians there at the time.
1948.
There were Christians there. I guess the British.
What do you mean?
They knew that the country was founded.
No, there were Christians in Israel.
They're all Israel.
Yeah, sure. There's plenty of churches there. Go way back. I mean, that was always the battle between the Muslims and the Christians. You know, back and forth, big seesaw throughout a lot of history. The Crusades were all about the Christians trying to regain the land of Israel from the infidels. In any case, so I think those are important points. So we went through three things, right? We spoke about number one, the Ksav Sofer on Visam Li Segula Mekalavamim. And we said, the Bima Melech is Kohanim, but Kadosh is up to you. But Am Segula, that's automatic because you accepted the Torah. And then we switched it to the, okay, what about the bris, the covenant Kadosh Baruch Hu has with us? In terms of Kadosh Baruch Hu's promises that things are going to be easy and he's going to facilitate our avodas Hashem. So that really does depend on our fulfillment of mitzvos. But we should never think that even that covenant can ever be ruined in any way. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, even when I send you into Galus, and I'm telling you I'm going to. But even in that case, I'm not disgusted by you, and I'm not trying to destroy you. I'm not trying to be made for my bris. The opposite, that's actually a fulfillment of my covenant. I'm telling you right now it's going to happen. And the Rambam writes that that is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah that each one of us should have in our pocket, Hazinu, which describes exactly the same dynamic. That you're not going to do the right thing, I'm going to kick you out, and I'm telling you right now you're going to go on the Gullus. I'm telling you, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and at the end, I'm going to take vengeance against all those people that made you suffer, and I'm going to bring you back to Eretz Israel. That's something everybody has to have in their pocket. So this is something that we need to know. People are not so aware of this. And sometimes someone will stump you and it's going to be a Christian guy that's going to, you know, cook and says, you know, how do you know that you're not forsaken by God or this, that, and the other thing? And you'll say, what do you mean? It's explicit in my Torah. I can tell it to you in at least, you know, three different ways that, you know, that that's the case. So that's important to keep in mind. So just in the next couple of minutes, maybe we can just, like, brainstorm a little bit. Josh wanted to know, what can we do to make our Siddurim a little bit more effective, a little more successful? So totally a different topic. But what can you do on a practical level? Now the answer to that question is it's going to totally and completely depend on your particular scenario and situation. So everybody has different scenarios. Some people have people that are interested. Some people that are not interested. One of the greatest yisodos I heard, I'm pretty sure it was Rav Ram that said this, that when Rav Yaakov Weinberg, the Rosh Yeshiva of Bnei Yisrael, his only brother, passed away, so I was a counselor at the camp sports that summer. So they were giving hespedim for him. I happened to hear the one from a friend, and he said that one of the things that Rebecca Weinberg used to say is, the Torah is compared to water. Why? So it's a lot of different things, right?
Because it's so bland.
Bland? So it can have any flavor you want. You have to add flavor to Tommy. There are a million things that one could say. Because I'll say the idea is that it means that you have to be humble to learn it. Because water always flows from a higher place or a lower place. So if you want to receive it, that's what you have to do. Make yourself humble. But he said, Rav Yaakov Weinberg apparently had a different suggestion. He said, how many cups of water do you have to drink a day? Everyone knows. Eight cups of water, two cups, whatever. Everyone's ever always heard this. Right. So he said, how many people here drink eight cups of water a day? Right? And it's like nobody raises their hand, you know? So he says, why not? If all the doctors will tell you, you got to keep yourself hydrated, you got to drink eight, you know, cups of water a day, how come people don't do it? The answer is because when you drink water, you have to be thirsty. So he says, what this principle, the Torah compared to water, teaches us is that the avoda of someone trying to teach Torah is not to pour water down someone's throat. Because it's just annoying. It's to make them thirsty. Because if they're thirsty, then they'll drink. That's when people drink. People drink when they're thirsty. So our question is not, how do you shove water down someone's throat? Because it doesn't work. Our question is, how can we create thirst that then a person will want to drink? So that's really what we have to be asking ourselves. If you're making a Seder, so the Seder revolves around teaching Torah in one way or another. So how do we make people thirsty that they should want to drink? You have to put them in a desert and you can feel that they're in a desert. You have to make them feel that they're thirsty. But how do you make somebody feel that they're thirsty if they're not? So what do you think? So in this metaphor, what does it mean to be thirsty? So thirst means to be curious, right? Interested. I want it. But why would you want it?
You have to, if somebody might not be thirsty, but then you tell them that they can't have water, then they'll be thirsty.
You can try that. Okay, this year, we're not going to do the Haggadah. No, no, I want to do that. So you may not win with that one. They may say, yes, I just want to eat anyway. Yeah. May not win with that one. I think, yeah.
Try this in chat, no more shear.
Yeah, that'll work real well, right.
No, no more Sunday shear. And then everyone will be like, oh, no, but I want to come. And they'll be like, okay, bye.
You want to try this experiment? I don't think it's going to work.
We'll see next Sunday.
So we have to figure out ways to make a person thirsty. Thirst is parallel to curiosity. So you have a lot of people that are so jaded that they look at Torah like everything goes and it's just your opinion and there's nothing called MS. That's, I think, one of the biggest problems we face today. Because if we could convince someone that I'm going to tell you exactly what a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, so I think they would be more open to it. I think one of the biggest problems that we face is that people think everything's a machlokas, there's so many opinions, you say whatever you want, there's no way to prove anything, and I think that's where a lot of this jaded attitude comes from. So the only way to be successful with that is to try to convince someone that that's not true. So how would you do that? So you could try to say to somebody, you know, okay, we're here at the Seder tonight. Before we read anything that has to do with the Haggadah, are we really supposed to be here? And what are we supposed to be doing? And then I'll say to you, like, well, how would you ever know that? You know, you'll say, well, can we agree on one thing? That this is our Torah. And forget Gemaras and Tosha Baal Peh and everything. Can't we agree that what it says in the Chumash is our Torah? And I think most people that we deal with are probably willing to go with that. So if you can start at that point, so you can say to yourselves, well, it says that there are four sons. And they each have a question. And the answer to their question always revolves around Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Kaddish Baruch Hu wants us to answer questions about Torah by including Yetzias Mitzrayim in that. So even if a kid doesn't ask a question, the Torah says, V'higadet levincha b'yom ha'hu le'mor. Now you look up the pasuk, so you got to look up in advance to know what he's talking about. But if you look up that pasuk, you'll see. That pasuk is talking about the Seder night. And that pasuk is telling us that on the Seder night, you have to talk about the story, and you have to say, Bavur zeh, aso Hashem leave and say simim mitzrayim. This is why Hashem took us out. What do you mean, this is why Hashem took us out? What is zeh? Zeh means you're pointing to something. So what are you pointing to? So the answer is, we're talking about the Seder, where the guy can say, you see the Pesach? You see the Matzah? You see the Maror? Hashem took us out, so we could do things like this, so we could do mitzvahs. That's why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And then if you take a look at the Rambam, you see, you know, various details that we could try to bring out of the Pasuk. But that Pasuk is where we have to start from. That apparently we're supposed to discuss Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's what you have to start with. So, come on, guys. What are we trying to do tonight? So, you've gotten rid of the Haggadah, right? And what you've done is you forced the people at your Seder to say, you know what, maybe a Kaddish Baruch Hu does want something from us tonight. And I think that, you know, the Holocaust is a good place to start for a lot of people, not everyone. And you can point out the parallels. And you can say, you know, the Jews did not start off as slaves. The Jews started off as normal people. And Paro felt threatened by them. And because he felt threatened by their numbers, he dehumanized them. And if you want, I can share some pictures with you if you want to use these pictures. I printed them out. And you can show the caricatures in Germany. And you can show the various attempts that they had to make the Jews look subhuman. And little by little, that enabled them to make them slaves. Mamish, slaves. Property of the state. Some of them they used, some of them they killed. We can do whatever we want with you. Your bodies, you are ours. And that is parallel to what Paro did in the time. And now it's already something that's relatable. And can you imagine if the way World War II ended was not that the Allies came and, you know, bombed the Germans and rescued us, but it ended with a Kaddish Baruch Hu and a Mashiach, someone like Moshe Rabbeinu, that came along and did Nisim. And we saw the Mitzrim that made us suffer, we saw the Nazi soldiers suffer the same way that they made us suffer. And then as we're trying to leave, we come to the water and the sea splits in a way that nobody's ever witnessed in the history of the world. We walk through on the dry land, and as we turn around, the Kaddish Baruch Hu takes all those Nazis and Hitler in the middle of them riding on his horse, his tank, whatever you want to call it. And all of a sudden, there's this tremendous miracle where it all crashes down on them a second after the last Jew exits. And we see all of them just die and drown, and everything that they did to us. And you can describe all the things they did to us because it's horrendous, and it makes you feel like you want to kill them. And then the Kaddish Baruch Hu took vengeance against all of them, and yeah, we were able to see it with our own eyes. How would that feel? And what would our relationship be with the Kaddish Baruch Hu? How would we feel toward the Kaddish Baruch Hu? And then the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, you people that were just slaves, and then, you know, the Jews were slaves for a few years, but in Mitzrayim, we were slaves for over 100 years. 2010, whatever. It took a little bit of time, but yeah. 200 years, whatever you want to call it. And then a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes you out and he says, you people that were a bunch of slaves, I have a mission for you. I want you to be my nation to the world. You express what the world is all about. So you can start to develop a picture that hopefully is a little bit relatable. But you definitely have to take a step away from the Haggadah first. Because if the Haggadah is viewed as just like a text that we got to read through, it's really boring, it's not interesting. But we have to first appreciate, so what are we trying to accomplish? And I'll be honest with you, the first section of the Haggadah is about the halachas of how to tell the story. You'll take a look, maybe this week we'll get a chance to look in the Haggadah itself, and you'll see that the first half of the Haggadah is really not the story at all. And then you get to this part about the farmer and his bikurim. And it's important to introduce it that way. That this, the psukim that we're about to read, which is the story, which contains within it the story, those psukim are actually what a farmer would say when he'd bring his bikurim. And then you can describe it in exactly the same way. This farmer, that used to be a slave in Mitzrayim, or at least his father was, or his great-grandfather, whatever. So he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was given his own land, and now he has independent, he has his own farm, and he's produced his own fruit. Contrast that with Mitzrayim. And every year for the rest of history, that family member is supposed to bring that fruit, first fruit of the Shivas Aminim to the Beis HaMikdash, present it to the Kohanim, and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for where, how far we've come. And that's how we're going to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim tonight. Well, it's also inspirational. It also shows, you know, like, wow, we're not just telling a story. It's appreciation of where we are now. It's also really critical that when you get to the end of the Haggadah, we remind ourselves, you know, we've just described how thankful we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim and making us his chosen nation, but where are we today? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Korban Pesach. So what does that mean for us? Doesn't that mean that we need to recommit ourselves? That on the night when we took the God of the Egyptians, that, and let me tell you something, we believed in the God of the Egyptians. At least we were scared of it. And Hashem told us, Moshe Rabbeinu told us, you got to kill that God and smear its blood in your doorpost. And that's what's going to save your life. That's like telling you to commit suicide to save your life. You hear what I mean? You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, because the Egyptians, they like saw Jews killing.
On the one hand, the Egyptians. On the other hand, the sheep itself.
Oh, they believed
it. They believed in it. It was suicidal. You commit suicide and that'll save your life. So that meant that they had to commit themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that was very, very challenging. Can't we commit ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu tonight, at least to some degree in that way? And if we can commit ourselves in that way, then who knows? Maybe next year, actually, the Mashiach will be here. Maybe next year we could have a Korban Pesach. Who knows what could be next year? If we're back in Mitzrayim and we can commit ourselves tonight, on the same night many, 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 many years ago that the Jews did that themselves. So hopefully with messages like that integrated into the Seder, you know, hopefully that can mean something to somebody. So the Nakuda is to take a step away from the Seder to try to build some kind of curiosity and some sort of interest in what's going on. Not going to happen by reading the text itself. It's only going to happen by us thinking about what are we doing here? Why is this worthwhile? Do we really think it's worthwhile? Do you believe it's worthwhile? And if the person says, no, I really don't, so then you've got a big challenge on your hand. But if the person says, you know what? I hear what you're saying. Tonight is the anniversary of something that was amazing and unprecedented. So maybe we could discuss it and see what the value is in it. So then you can work with that. Singing gets a lot of people into it too. I mean, singing is fun. There's a lot of songs, so definitely learn the songs. If you can sing Shweki, so go with Vihishamda, it's a great one. You know that, huh? Shweki's Vihishamda. Sham da lava yase nu Sham da lava yase nu velanu Shala yechad bevar mara leinu lechala yase nu Mara leinu lechala yase nu Yishayam da lava yisayinu Yishayam da lava yisayinu velanu Shelo yechod bevar omad oleinu lechalo yisayinu Omad oleinu lechalo yisayinu Eloheinu Baruch Hu Matzileinu Matzileinu Miyadam VeHaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Matzileinu all those tools. And there are a lot of tools, you know, when you're talking about matzah and mortar and eating it and, like, you know. Anyway, if you have any specific questions that, like, we could try to address specifically, definitely share with you. Okay.